This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
Hour number two, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And right now, let's get right to it. We are joined on the Goodyear Hotline by Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider. So, Dan, thanks for joining us. And I guess the some of the news of today is Ben Roethlisberger and Art Rooney II talking about how he's going to stay with the organization. And by the sound of the statement issued by Art Rooney II, it does sound like he will be under center this year for the Steelers, just on a much cheaper paycheck.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what cheaper ends up meaning, right? Because they can do like a fake extension that turns salary into bonus and spreads out the cap hit and reduces this year's cap hit. But if you're talking about actually paying him less, then that gets interesting to me, because for a quarterback in his situation to take a pay cut at this stage in his career would be very surprising and I think unprecedented. So that would be doing the Steelers a major favor. So I am curious to see how this comes out. The amount of public discussion that Steelers executives have had about this contract tells me they are trying to make it very clear to the public and to their fans that Roethlisberger can only be on this team if he's willing to make certain sacrifices. And I think I'm very fascinated, as someone who spends a lot of time studying the way NFL contracts and the salary cap work, I'm interested to see what form that ends up taking.
Well, to a certain extent, they have stuck through Ben through some tough times. And, you know, the Steelers, if anything, is a very loyal organization. I feel like maybe the Steelers are saying, it's time for you to pay it forward, Ben. We stayed with you with the three Bs. We sided with you. We got rid of everybody that you wanted to get rid of. Now, for the future of this team and the health of this team going forward, we got to lock up Micah Fitzpatrick. We got to make a decision on Juju Smith-Schuster. Okay, like, we get some salary cap relief back from Pouncey. But if you want to have an opportunity to try and win a Super Bowl, right, we know they have a Super Bowl-caliber defense. It's Ben that's holding the team back, I believe, more than, you know, any other, you know, determining factor. So him giving money back allows him to still be the hero. But even if they you know, restructure it, isn't his salary cap, regardless, $23 million hit? But we watched Drew Brees take less money. We see the Super Bowl champion take less money. Big Ben is the next one in line to do so.
Right. So no matter what happens, like even if he retires or if they cut him, they still have a $22.25 million cap hit for him for this year. That is immovable. That is the lowest it can possibly be, and that's if he's not on the team. So that's a result of previous contracts and restructures and bonus money that has to be allocated a certain way. That there is a big block of granite that cannot move off of their salary cap. So the difference is that, or the 41.25 that he's currently scheduled. So somewhere in that $19 million between those two numbers is where they have to settle. So I was doing the math this morning, and if they do the extension with the void years and they save 14.34 versus if they have him take a pay cut, in order to get the same amount of savings that the extension would give them, his pay cut would have to be about 70%. He'd have to go from making $19 million this year to about $5.5 million.
Wow.
So as a former player, Bart Scott, I would like to know
how
palatable that sounds.
Yo, I love you, but I tell you what, I want some ownership in the company or something. You got to pay me some other way or something. $5 million.
Big haircut.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. My hair's too strong to get cut.
How bad
that low.
Do you really want to play?
But tell me,
I
this.
That's what that is.
Can they get more money from, you know, I don't know. To me at this point, I don't know how great Joe Hayden is and how important he is to the organization. But he only has a dead cap of $2.9 million.
Yep.
And he had, you know, so, you know, with that being said, you can save a lot off of his $15 million cap hit, you know, that way. So are they going to start searching that way? Because I feel like at this point, you better sign Micah Fitzpatrick to a long-term deal right now, depending on, you know, just especially talking about how much you gave up for him and being able to try and keep this team somewhat together. But you're going to lose some good pieces. I think Bud Dupree is going to be, you know, somebody that's got to go, and they got to try and figure out a way if J.J. Watt is a natural, cheaper option for a 1 or 2 year, you know, run. You know, maybe that's it. But who else is going to have to take a haircut? Because Ben ain't the only one that got to cut some hair off and take some cheese off his taco.
JJ's brother, by the way, just like Minka Fitzpatrick, is going to be looking for a contract extension pretty soon, and that's going to be no small number there. So, Hayden is a place that's a guy they could save money by cutting or obviously restructuring, extending, whatever. Pouncey, you mentioned they're going to save $8 million because he retired, but they are also going to need a center. And like Pittsburgh, they don't go cheap at center. Like the Steelers centers they go to the Hall of Fame. Like that's a position where they've prioritized in the past. So I don't think they're going to just look for any old solution there. David DeCastro, veteran guard, is a guy that they could get some money out of that contract. There are some, but they have problems. And you mentioned Bud Dupree is a free agent. Juju Smith-Schuster is a free agent. James Conner is a free agent. You know, this is not, if Ben Roethlisberger comes back, there is going to be a lot of pressure on him, on Mike Tomlin, and on whoever they get in this year's draft to produce at very high level to overcome some of the deficiencies that the finances are necessitating for them in 2021.
We're talking with Dan Graziano on the Goodyear Hotline. It is Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. And we're talking NFL. It is franchise tag season. It's always that, you know, put a ring on it type of situation.
Friendship bracelets.
Dak Prescott story, it just doesn't, Dan, it just doesn't go away.
Nah.
Is this the year it finally, it keeps on giving when it comes to content, but
yeah.
Dan, is this, like, you have to be exhausted by talking about this same thing year after year.
I mean, the Dak thing doesn't take up a lot of your reporting energy right now,
right?
Because nothing really is happening. So you check in periodically and your people say, nope, same as it was last time I asked, and you kind of move on. But yeah, I mean, it's, I feel like an idiot in the get up show meeting when they say, all right, Dan, what's the latest? Same as last week. So, I guess it can be a little, I mean, people are interested in it. It's the Cowboys quarterback. It's a unusual situation. So,
but what's the holdup? Like, I guess that's
year?
My problem, Dan.
Yeah.
What's the holdup at this
now,
point?
Honestly, is that it's the same as a holdup on anybody else's extension right now? Like they don't know what the salary cap's going to be this year. They don't know what salary cap's going to be next year, and those two are tied together, right? Because they're fudging it. Like it's usually based on revenue projections, but they lost money this year as a result of no fans in the stands, etc. So they have to adjust the cap downward. But they're going to try and keep it artificially high so that the hit isn't too big. But then that means they're going to have to knock some off of next year's cap. So they're working all that out. They're also talking to the TV networks about new deals, which are if they're gigantic new deals, that could make the cap bigger,
right?
And that could mean more room, and it could help these teams figure out how to structure these deals, especially in the first couple of years. So that's the holdup right now. They have to franchise them by March 9th if they don't have a deal done, and then they have until July 15th to get the deal done. And if they don't, and he plays on the tag again,
he's out.
Then you're looking at this is it, right? Because
I guess that's
it's
what
$52
I meant.
Million next year.
Yeah. I guess I misspoke, and I should have been clear. When I said, what's the holdup, why isn't he signed right now?
Right.
I think what I mean is, is this like the third year we're
talking
about?
They're playing a dangerous game.
Like, it's reaching that point now where, you know, and I use the analogy, you know, if you love it, then you should have put a ring on it. Right? Like, this is getting to that point now where we're looking at, you know, you're looking at your son going, are you going to marry her or not? Because you've been living together for a while and you got to get married. Like, it's that pressure that parents put on their kids. I'm speaking from experience. So, like, that's, I think, what I'm wondering is it just that they still aren't sure about him after the injury now and everything else?
Nope.
Or can we finally say, no, you know what? The feeling is they're finally going to have a deal, and this will all be over, and he'll be with the Cowboys for the rest of his career. Like, do you have any inkling at all about that, at least?
What I've been told is they want to sign him. He wants to be there. They don't have concerns about him recovering from his ankle. Everything's fine on that front from everything I've been told. And the issue is what it was last summer. They want the longer-term deal so they can spread out the cap hit as much as possible. He wants the shorter-term deal so he can get to free agency again that much sooner. They weren't able to bridge that gap last summer. Now, I think the Cowboys were a little shocked, right? Because they're used to getting the deal done that they want or something close to it. And so when he didn't cave, I think they were stunned. And I mean, just remember talking to people there after that deadline passed on July 15th. So now I wonder if knowing that he's willing to push it that far affects their position, and maybe there's more of a compromise ground on the issue of the term of the deal, the length of the deal, as opposed to the money. Because I don't get the sense the money is a big issue. I think they understand where the money's going to have to be.
Right, and from a player standpoint, as a player who did my second deal as a 3-year deal, who's in a similar situation as Dak Prescott, a guy that didn't come out and wasn't drafted high, so didn't get a lot of that guaranteed big money in his first contract. So he's saying, how do I squeeze two big contracts out of my career? Basically like how Russell Wilson did as well. So who's made more money than anybody in the last five years? Kirk Cousins, right? Mm-hmm. And he's putting himself in a line to get the Kirk Cousins treatment. But Kirk Cousins did a 3-year deal because it allows you to get another bite at the apple after Lamar Jackson gets paid, after Josh Allen gets paid. It's going to change those averages. And with the new TV deal, he wants to be able to benefit from some of that big TV deal. So, I applaud Dak Prescott for what he's doing. But what they have to realize that if he gets to free agency, he's going to get to free agency. He's not going to say, okay, I'm going to play on a franchise tag. Now let's negotiate in good faith. No, he's going to say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take my visits. And I tell you what, San Francisco looks like a destination with the skill set of a guy like Dak Prescott with the young weapons that they have, that he can be an all-star and a pro bowler and an all-pro and a Super Bowl contender immediately and for a long time coming. And Jerry Jones, nobody wants to hear Jerry Jones about what he lost because he made all his money by overcharging the residents of Houston for all his utility bills. So we ain't crying for Jerry Jones who charging people thousands of dollars for some damn heat. So he can get on and miss us with that one. So if anything, Dak should say, I know you got some extra cheese on the taco because I got my heating bill. How about that one? So I tell you what, that's a whole other story for a different day.
Uncomfortable because I know I am right now.
I'm not wading into the whole Texas power grid situation.
Exactly.
That's a little beyond my area of expertise.
I came here to talk football. Now we're talking about something.
Okay, so let's get to football because I feel like one of the most underreported stories is the Orlando Brown story and the fact that he wants to be released and traded. This is a guy that has been in the league for 3 years, a two-time Pro Bowler, 23 years old, and you're talking about the ability to only have to pay this dude $920,000 this year, and then you can restructure something after. And all he wants is not the money early. He just wants to play left tackle so that he can get paid as a left tackle. How are people not knocking the doors down for Baltimore, who's in salary cap hell, who has a – pay Judon, figure out what they're going to do. They just paid Ronnie Stanley $100 million. They got to eventually talk extension with Lamar Jackson, so they would have just probably been renting Orlando for a year anyway. Why aren't people knocking the door down to try and get this young, talented player and add him? We just saw the team with the best offensive line or one of the best offensive lines win the Super Bowl. Tell me I'm wrong. Am I crazy?
I think it's a very unusual situation with Orlando Brown because there's no animosity with him and the team, right? Yeah. They haven't done him wrong. They just happen to have Ronnie Stanley there, right, who's one of the best in the league. So he's not going to play left tackle as long as he's there, and he'd like a chance by the time he gets to free agency to have played some left tackle and get left tackle money as opposed to right tackle money.
Deeper than that, Grimes, because I've been around this kid since he was 8 years old, or actually since he was born. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No. His father's dream, who was a great right tackle, a heavy-handed right tackle in the run game, Zeus, everybody knows him. Yep. That's the guy who shook the ref up when he got hit in the eye with the flag. His dream was for his son to be a left tackle, to be the dancing bear who he always wished he could be, but physically he couldn't be. So this kid has been groomed. So this is even deeper than him just wanting to get paid. This is him fulfilling a prophecy for his father. So I think he's going to dig in. And I'm looking at the teams like the Jets are worried about going to get Deshaun Watson. Hey, if you go get this kid who you have ties with, if you're Joe Douglas, you can give up that 34th pick or 35th pick, which is like a first-round pick, and a third, and you got a cheap left tackle, move Becton to right tackle, go get a guard in free agency, and now you have arguably one of the best offensive lines in the game. And, by the way, that allows you to move down. The Jets can move down and say, hey, Panthers, you want to move up? You want to go get, BYU? You want to go get OSU? You want to go get Trey Lance? You want to go get any of these kids? Here, come on up. Just give me your next year's first-round draft pick. And now the Jets will have three first-round draft picks because I feel like Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans are going to dig in. they're going to have a staring contest, much like Cincinnati.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And much like Carson Palmer, and it's going to have to get ugly for a year. And then what did they do when Hugh called from Oakland? Hey, man, give me Carson Palmer. All right, give me 3 first-round draft picks. Well, guess what the Jets will have? They will have 3 first-round draft picks to give them in one draft. And you get Deshaun Watson on the flip side, and you play the slow hustle and the slow play, knowing that you got 2 guys that are arrogant narcissists that's going to stand their ground. Whether you're talking about Easterly or you're talking about Steele, whatever the hell his name is, and Deshaun Watson. And people telling me I'm crazy, but I think I'm crazy, but I'm crazy like a damn fox. Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, it sounds like you got it all worked out. I don't know why you're not on the phone with Joe Douglas as opposed to me. No, I think it's,
He stopped taking my calls.
All right, fair enough.
I'm really talking to him by talking to you.
Bart has a minutes restriction now on his phone because he's used up all his minutes, as you can tell.
Orlando Brown is a weird situation because, like you mentioned, no one can even negotiate a deal with him until after next year. We don't know that the Ravens are interested in trading him. It's not really trade season yet. We know the 2 big quarterback deals went down, but you're not allowed to trade anybody until March 17th. So, you know, as it gets closer to that, you'll see more of this activity pick up. So I just wonder about Orlando Brown, like what the right – I mean, look, you could look around the league and say, wouldn't he be great in Seattle? Wouldn't it be great in Indy? Wouldn't he be great in Jacksonville? You know, the Chargers, all these teams need it. But I have an interest – like what if he went to Miami, is right tackle the glamour spot in Miami because the quarterback throws left-handed? Like, is that would that satisfy,
well, he just
wants, right?
Well,
what he wants and his father want, or no, it has to be the left side.
He's got left side, strong side. You heard, remember the Titans?
Right.
So he want to go left side, strong side. But I tell you what,
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like Becton or the Giants. I mean, come on, anybody with a quarterback.
Yeah.
We just watched the team with the best offensive line. It's a team that's going. It's not about your quarterback per se. It's about the ability to protect them. Because we saw the greatest quarterback become immortal when he had that smoke up in his face. Because you didn't have the ability to have, you know, his edges protected.
No doubt. And I mean, I think that's what Russell Wilson saw, and that's why we heard his comments a couple weeks back. And I don't think there's any doubt that the Super Bowl and the whole run that the Bucs went on proves that pass protection can mean. But, the Orlando Brown situation, I think you're right. It's not getting much attention. I wonder where it goes because I know there are teams that are interested. I don't think there have been serious discussions because I think the Ravens would like to find a way to keep him. It's an odd one because you can't even get cost certainty on the guy beyond next year because, well, you do have the 4th year and, all that, but you can't do a new deal with him. And a lot of times when teams want to trade picks for a player, they want to make sure they're going to have the player a while, and the rules prohibit you from talking extension with Orlando Brown for another year. So it's a tricky and unique situation.
Last one for me. I know I'm crazy. I'm all on this, man. But I love talking to you because I know you talk to people. And,
Bart's in blitz mode right now.
I know you get the crops report like trader, like trading places. So I already know. Which one of these receivers that's getting tagged or not getting tagged is going to be available? Because we anticipated this is going to be one of the best free agency markets for receivers. But, you know, if all of them get tagged, we know that not all of them are going to get long-term deals. Which one do you think is going to hit the market?
I think if you're talking about Allen Robinson in Chicago, Kenny Galladay in Detroit, Chris Godwin in Tampa, is that pretty much your list that you're talking about at the top of the receiver market?
Yeah. Like, and we know Will Fuller ain't going.
They could all get franchised because the receiver tag is probably not going to be that prohibitive. Maybe a high 15, low 16 millions, where Amari Cooper got 20 last year. So the tag is okay from the team standpoint. So the question becomes, if you're Allen Robinson, you get tagged, do you dig in? Do you sit out? Do you say, I don't want to play here and I won't sign it, trade me? That's a possible thing. I don't know what the deal is in Detroit because they're under new management there, so they're still in that phase where they're figuring out what they have and where their priorities are going to be. Tampa Bay has Shaq Barrett. They could franchise for the second year in a row, or they could try and do a deal with him and franchise Godwin. So I would say Godwin of those 3 has the best chance to get free this offseason because Tampa might go in another direction with the franchise tag, whereas in Detroit and Chicago, those are the obvious candidates. But Allen Robinson's relationship with the Bears I don't think is fantastic. I mean, it was somewhat public last year that he and the team were trying to work out an extension and couldn't. He hasn't been the kind of guy who will who will sit out and force his way out. He played hard and played well, but if it drags on into this offseason and he's franchised, I wonder if there comes a point where that breaks.
All right, Dan, before we let you go, I have to ask you a question that I think you've been asked about 8 times since the Super Bowl. And I just want to see if it'll make you laugh, if you get what I'm saying. Can you predict next year's Super Bowl winner? I feel like every show you're on, you're asked to do that. Am I wrong?
Why not?
I just feel like every time I see you on a TV, you're answering the question predict next year's Super Bowl winner. It's like the one question we have to ask Dan.
We did that on Get Up a few times. I've been saying Buffalo. I always look at that.
You have been. You've been saying Buffalo over and over again.
You can't predict. The only thing you know is that it won't be the Bucks, because it's been what? It'll be now 17 years without a repeat champion. Like that's pretty hard to do. So I think that's the only team I wouldn't feel comfortable picking.
Buffalo's a real
Lions or somebody.
Buffalo's a real interesting pick though by you. It really is. It's under the radar, but a very viable pick. Yeah.
I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah, that would be interesting. If the Rams win the Super Bowl with $22 million and Jared Goff dead money on their on their cap, you're going to see quarterbacks getting cut and traded left and right, because that's a big number. Not as big as the Eagles and Wentz, but it's big.
We had Schefter on literally right after this. Was it right after the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And he sounded literally like he sounded so
exhausted,
distraught with the idea, like tired. Like, I just finished the season, and with this quarterback stuff, and you know, he felt like it's only just beginning, and there's just no rest for the weary. I wonder if you're feeling the same way. Like, it's just – there is no off season right now for the NFL.
You know, there never is. And, I don't know, I love my job. It's a great job, and I'm sure the majority of people listening don't want me to hear me complain about my job. Like, it's not – you know, there are plenty of people have it worse. I will say this. This was an exhausting season to cover. Like, I feel like since a year ago I was doing CBA stuff, and then it spun right into pandemic stuff and how the league's going to adjust to that. And then that became such a story. So, like, if you're saying Adam sounded exhausted, I mean, I kind of feel like a lot of people in our business feel the same way, that this was a very difficult and tiring season to cover in sort of an unusual way. So the company's great. Like, everybody's bosses are saying, hey, you got to take some time, you got to take some downtime. But so we all will, but I can understand if that's your perception of how Adam sounded right after the Super Bowl. I don't think you're far off.
Yeah, the good news is you can work from home, which means you're always available, Dan. We appreciate your time, my man.
And if you get anything that comes up on your crop report, let us know first.
All right, well, let me know what you hear from Joe Douglas, and then we'll work off of that.
Always exchanging information. That's how we do it. Great job. Thank you, Dan. Dan Graziano, he joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, and he was giving us that Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coming up, you know what it is. It's Audiophiles. We get Bart to stop talking. We let other people do the talking, and we give you the latest on Tiger Woods and his condition.
I need a throat lozenge.
It's when we have a guest, and the guest waits for you to finish the part.
Wrap it up, B.
ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
ESPN Radio and the Undefeated, celebrating Black history always.
Lift every voice and sing.
In 1991, the University of Michigan's Fab Five took the college basketball world by storm. The all-freshman starting lineup of Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, and Ray Jackson became icons with their baggy shorts and exciting style of play. And four of the five players would play in the NBA.
Black history always, the Undefeated, and ESPN Radio.
As Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. And speaking of college basketball, as we were just talking about there, the Michigan Fab Five, the college basketball season's heating up, and that means Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. You can go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as this season rolls on. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. It is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Bart's done all the talking he could possibly do. There's nothing left of his voice. So while he gets a lozenge and tries to get himself back on track, that was record time in that segment with Dan Graziano. So while Bart recovers from overuse of his voice, load management is now required for Bart's voice. We will let those making the headlines do the talking, and we'll do that in what we call audio files. And we go back to the story of the day, and one that we led the show with, and really it is the biggest topic, the biggest headline in the world of sports, and that is that Tiger Woods is recovering from lengthy surgery to prepare what have been significant orthopedic injuries to his right lower extremity, basically a major damage to his right leg after it was suffered in a single car rollover crash earlier on Tuesday in a Los Angeles suburb. He survived the crash. Yes, he is awake, but the damage to his leg, of course, is extensive, and now that is the next question when it comes to recovery. Stefania Bell discussed the injuries and how long it might take for him to come back.
The first thing is to monitor for infection. You know, they would have cleaned the wound, they put him on antibiotics, and they'll monitor his response. But there could be other soft tissue injuries elsewhere. And when you look at the big picture, it's really hard to make a projection at this point because this alone with the lower leg, we're talking months, not weeks. And you don't know what else he has to deal with as well.
So, Bart, clearly for Tiger, this is a long recovery. I just don't want to get into the when is he coming back, set the timeline. I don't even want somebody to tell me expected back, could play. You know, I don't want to hear, like, you know, in 2022, he could return in time for this. Don't put that out there because I don't think it's necessary. It starts to become an expectation and maybe even starts to become a demand. And if he doesn't meet it, it would look like, oh, he let us down. He's done enough. Yeah. The guy has got to recover, and hopefully, I think it's not just physically. I think there'll be some mental impact on this as well for him because he's been through a lot physically with his game, and he's still trying to chase, of course, Nicklaus and that record.
I mean, this is about quality of life, and, you know, it was great to watch him, you know, on a golf course with his son a couple of months ago as they were in a tournament. He reminds you of yourself, and, you know, sometimes it's time to turn the page and say, you know what, everybody has supported my dream. Now it's time to start supporting others. That's why I retired, because it was time for me to start supporting other people's dreams and not my own, because sometimes it can be selfish. And what you have to put your family and put yourself through, you know, it's a long road. You know, we saw Alex Smith kind of go through a similar injury, and the infection, the worst-case scenario, happened. And you start worrying about not about is he ever going to play again. One, is he going to keep his leg? And two, is he going to, you know, save his life? You know, as Alex Smith almost lost his life. So, listen, we got to listen. Athletes are very focused, right? They are used to getting to the mountain top one step at a time. We'll talk about Tiger Woods and his golf future at the appropriate time. But right now, we have to look at the now and where he is now and what type of obstacles he's going to face in the immediate future. And I think that's what Tiger has to do, become single-focused on the little task and the little milestones that he's going to have in a road to recovery just to be able to walk and be able to pick his kids up.
Yeah, let's just like I said, let's leave that part of it there. And any more updates on his condition, once we get them, we certainly will bring them to you. Meanwhile, in the NBA, last night in New York City, for the first time since the pandemic began, there were fans allowed in the building to watch both NBA teams play. The Knicks at Madison Square Garden, the Nets at the Barclays Center, both played, and there were fans in both buildings. Only 2,000, but as some of you might know, New Yorkers, 2,000 of them, can sound like 20,000. We're a little loud.
Joey Pucco over here. Joey Pucco.
Hey, that's a foul. What are you talking about? Like, you know, that's definitely – you heard all that stuff and the booing. And it was – there was something about it. For MSG Network, I covered the game at the Garden. I wasn't there. I wasn't allowed in the building, but fans were. But just to hear the crowd reacting to things like a bad call, like a big shot, like Steph Curry making a dagger three that just – took your breath away and frustration, all that stuff.
That stuff is
so important to have back in the game. Mike Breen, who is obviously the voice of the NBA for ESPN, he's also the voice of the Knicks for Madison Square Garden, and he was on with Greeny and talked about how important it was just to have fans, even only 2,000, back in the building.
The fans are the oxygen of sports. It's a great phrase that I've heard, and it's so true. And you take away the fans – you take away that music accompaniment, it's still sports. It's still, you know, these great athletes going at it, but it's simply not as good. And I don't think it's even close.
Bart, you have to feel that way, don't you? I mean, could you? Now, you didn't have to do it this year, but could you imagine yourself and a guy that just lived off adrenaline and whether it was being the villain, whether the crowd hated you, or just having the crescendo of the crowd lift you up? Like, how that must. I know it's pro sports. They're paid a lot of money, and we should. It's still part of the show
it's
part of the game.
It's a very emotional game. And the fans, you know, are the oxygen, but the oxygen is what pushes the blood through, which I believe the fans, I would say they're the heartbeat. They're the rhythm. They're the flow. They're the tempo, right? As their tempo builds.
Heartbeat is, I would agree.
As their tempo builds, your energy level builds. And when you find stuff that you didn't think you were capable of having because you know that they either hate you or they love you, you live for this moment. And it's hard when you take that out, and it's hard to stay focused. It's hard to stay locked in because the fans are the response. They're the instant seal of approval or disapproval, right? So this is what you live for. And I think that just coming back, I think 2,000 fans, we saw it in the Super Bowl, you know, 30%, 20% capacity sounds like, you know, a sold out stadium when you have been hearing crickets and hearing people, you know, text, their, you know, they hear their text messages when they're over there on the sideline. You know, so I think it's a much welcome return back. And I hope this is just the start of us getting back to some form of normal way of life and what we're accustomed to.
Yeah. And I don't want anybody to say it felt normal again, because 2,000 fans doesn't feel normal.
Right.
But at least it's bringing you a little bit closer to normalcy. Normal will be when it's a packed arena. Like, that's normal. And who knows how long that will take for us to get back to that point. So at least you have something. At least you have a little more energy in the building. Because we all thought when you watch, like you said, the Super Bowl, at least you had some people. You had 20,000. You had some people in there. The NBA Finals in the bubble, there was nobody there. And so it didn't feel like the same level of basketball. It didn't feel like it. And I'm sure LeBron would hate that if somebody put an asterisk on his NBA championship in the bubble because, well, there were no fans there. Did it really happen? It's like Bart when he gives you a great take on the NFL, if a tree falls in the woods.
Timber, huh? What happened?
That's audio files. That was fun. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Coming up, speaking of LeBron, a matchup tonight in the NBA that is a must-watch. We'll discuss that. Grab a call or two as well before we go. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn. We're going to run this town. Your town, that's right, whether you like it or not. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus, where you can see us every day at noon Eastern. And when you gift a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more, like I said, including our show. Surprise a sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, I know it's another late game, but ESPN has a really nice doubleheader today, and the game you want to watch is the 10 o'clock game, the second game of the doubleheader, Lakers-Jazz.
Ooh.
Yeah, Lakers have lost three in a row. Jazz are a team that's saying, hey, you talk about the Lakers, you talk about the Clippers, you talk about the Nets, what about us?
Put some respect.
They're killing
it
right now. 25-6. So for the Lakers, they got to try to end a losing streak against a team that is just crushing everyone.
Bad matchup, too. You think about Rudy Gobert and their lack of size. If you talk about the Lakers and you talk about Gasol, it should get dominated by Gobert.
Yeah. No, it's that's there's a team no one's talking about. Now, Rick in New Jersey has another team that I don't think enough people are talking about. Rick?
It's Ray, but thanks for taking my call, and congrats on the show. I want to talk about the Sixers.
Ah. Go for it. Go for it. I agree.
Yeah, you think they can get through the East? I think they can. I think Boston, like you said earlier, is going backwards, and I'm just waiting for Brooklyn to implode with three guys up there. There's only one ball and three gunners. Yeah. I think they're going
to – I'll say this, Rick. I wouldn't wait for the Nets to implode. I don't think you're going to see that.
Yeah,
but Philly's a team – Doc's doing a great job there. Embiid, this is what I don't like, too. We're going to start now. Oh, LeBron should win the MVP because look at all he's going through. Joel Embiid has been a guy just it's like similar to Julius Randle where we were waiting for him. Can you prove that you could take the next step? Joel Embiid has done that. He's in shape. He's playing hard every night. His team is winning. They're 21-11. They're in first place in the East. They are a team that I'm telling you. And Rick, don't worry about the Nets imploding. What I like is how you match up against them.
Yeah.
You got a coach who knows he knows defense. He knows also how to play physical, how to play tough. He knows how to take on those type of teams because he's been doing that when he was with Boston.
Yeah.
When he went up against the Heat teams and when he was with the Clippers as well. He knows how to play these kind of teams and how to play them physical. And I do think the Sixers do match up against the Nets. And that's why the Nets, I think, are going to try to find another piece out there that can help them deal with a guy like Embiid.
That's why you think about Drummond, you know, maybe getting bought out, you know, but you don't think it's a good fit. You think you need a guy like Tucker. But the fact that, you know, Joel Embiid is taking the next step. This is first year we haven't heard about his conditioning, his bad bubble guts, whatever he had going on last time. And he seems like he's matured a little bit. And I like with the presence of Doc, he's getting the best out of Tobias Harris. Remember when they made that trade, it's because
some people thought Tobias Harris should have been an all-star.
He was balling with him in the Clippers, and now he seems to kind of reaffirm that game. And I love the fact that now Joel Embiid is allowed to be the big man that he's always been because Al Horford isn't down there clogging up the lane. Now he can space and shoot when he wants to, but nobody can stop the big man on the low block.
Yeah. No, that Sixers are a team that you do not overlook at all, and I feel like they are being overlooked, at least right now. But tonight, Lakers-Jazz. You got to watch that game. That's a good one. This
Damn
was
it,
fun,
never
Bart.
Enough time, man.
Never
Where's the encore?
Time. But you know what? We can do it again tomorrow.
I holla!
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.